Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How many things can we do without Jesus? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You have to keep it in context. Verse 8 follows verse 7. And up to this time, he's talking about the vine and then fruit. When he gets to verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire and maybe it will be done. No, that's not what he says. He said, it shall be done for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is for verse 8. He's saying when he talks about bearing much fruit, he's talking about bearing prayer fruit. The other fruit that show up in the life of the Christian, and later on he talks about fruit. I mean, we bearing fruit in terms of soul winning. But here, if you keep it in context, really what he's talking about is he wants us to bear much prayer fruit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If we went home, we'll be set. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He tells you exactly how to get results in prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you are already born again and a Christian, you abide in the Lord. And as you maintain a relationship and fellowship with him, you abide in the Lord. But then he goes a step further and says, my words. That's where the tripping point is. My words abide in you. My words live in you. You will ask what you desire. And we mentioned and talked about the fact that to get the words to live in us, we don't just hear it in one ear and let it go the other. We don't just read and forget about it. We must take time to think on it. We must take time to feed on those words. We must take time to get those words in our heart to the point where no matter what comes up, oh, those words are talking back to us. Thank you, Lord. Then when we pray, we will get results. You see, no one can be successful in life. Prayer has no substitute. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is crying out to God. Prayer is lifting up our heart to God, pouring our heart to God. Prayer is beseeching and making intercession and supplication to God. There is no substitute for a life of prayer. And then we reference also Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. From verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice the phrase evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's the next word? Praying. The goal of giving us his whole armor is so we can pray, so we can enter into the prayer life. He gives us all those armor so we can pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end with all perseverance for all the saints. The Greek literally says with all kinds of prayer or all manner of prayer. You see, there are so many kinds of prayer. There's a prayer where we are fellowshipping, just fellowshipping with God. There's a prayer where we are consecrating ourselves to the will of God. For instance, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew that he had to go through the way of the cross to redeem man back to God. His flesh was cringing away from it. So in that prayer, when he was praying, he said, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass away from me. You see, in the prayer of consecration, when we are not sure what the will of God is, when we are consecrating ourselves to the will of God, it's all right to put in there, Lord, if it is your will, for me to go here, I will go. Whatever your plan is for my life, I will do it. Whatever you purpose for my life, I will do it. But then when it comes to the prayer to change things, to see things change, there is no if in there. When it comes to the prayer of faith, when we are definite, when we know the plan and the purpose of God, we don't put an if in there. Jesus, in John chapter 11, when he got to the tomb of Lazarus, he knew he had talked to the Father about Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days already. But he had talked to the Father when he got to the tomb of Lazarus. All he said is, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayers. And I'm just saying this for the people around here to know that you are the one that sent me. Oh, he had already prayed and knew what the Father was going to do. He knew what the will of God was. So when he got to that tomb, he said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. And the Bible says that he that had been bound with great clothes and all that, for 4 days, he came out of the grave. The disciples said, don't bother him. By this time, he's gone past. He's beginning to stink. Oh, so many times in our lives, some situation may come up. It may look very dire. It may look impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, we cannot take, there are certain positions in prayer. You are either on the offensive, you are on the defensive, or you are backing out. Notice in Ephesians, he has talked about the fact that we wrestle, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Whether you like it or not, you are already in a wrestling match. You are already in a wrestling contest. And you have to stand your ground. You are wrestling from a standpoint of victory. These principalities and powers have already been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ in his ascension. He defeated them and paralyzed them. But the victory that Jesus has already purchased for you, you are not going to enjoy it automatically. The devil will try to contest. We cannot take a defensive position. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, he talks about the fact that give no place to the devil. Don't give him any place. He cannot take any place in you except for the space that you give him. I say in Hebrews, if you allow the devil an inch in your house, next thing you know, you want to take over the whole house. So you can defend your ground. But you can also, in prayer, get to the place where you take an offensive position. One time, the people of Israel had gotten into a situation in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath kept coming and crying out. And the Bible says that he was defying the armies of the living God. He kept crying day and night. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16, he talks about the fact that for 40 days and 40 nights, he was daring the people of God to put up a fight. If you defeat us, we will serve you. If we defeat you, you will serve us. If you defeat us, we will serve you. He kept crying out. And Saul and the people of Israel were afraid. They are taking a defensive position. The Bible says without prayer without season. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not to faint. You can pray and talk to God in your car when you're on the way to work. You can pray at work when you're on the job. You can communicate and maintain fellowship with God all the time. But it's important also to set times during the day where you have undistracted moments and talk and fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Then you are ready to face whatever may come up. Notice, even in the life of Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, he says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from there he chose 12 among whom he also named apostles. He's going to make a very important decision, a decision that will even have impact to our day. What does he do? He sets aside time to pray. All night to God. All night to God. When it comes the daytime, he knows exactly what to do. He knows who he's going to choose. This is a very important decision. So many times in our lives, I mean, sometimes it's an emergency, but I mean, not everything is an emergency. Some things can wait a day or two. You set aside time to pray. This decision that I'm going to make is going to have consequences not only in the now, but for a long time to come. We pray about it. And we also see him also in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus, we see him now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. A great while before the morning, before daylight, he separated himself from everyone and he went aside, and there what did he do? He prayed to get ready for the day. To get ready for the day, he separated himself and then he prayed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then notice also in Mark chapter 6, verse 36. And when he has sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Prayer is involved in prayer all throughout the day. You see him praying before the day. This is in the midst of activities. He's finished feeding those multitudes. He sent everyone away. He departed to the mountain to pray. So important for us to realize that. And in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, we see Daniel also, he prayed three times a day. It's important to have a time of where you separate yourself during the day. Have a prayer schedule. Put it on the daily schedule where you pray the same way that we do everything else. If not, it's easy for it to slip. I mean, think about it. I mean, Daniel was a vice president of a nation. No one is too busy to pray. He set aside three times a day to pray. The king said, no one should pray. He said, forget this. There's no way I can go through the day and not talk to my Heavenly Father. It's so easy to do. If you pray in the morning, and then at lunchtime, you set aside some time also to pray, and then during the evening, you pray. You've already done three times a day, like Daniel. You're not too far from it. It's possible. It can be done. But the thing here is, there are times where during the day we commune and fellowship with the Father, but there are times also it's so important to set aside time to pray to our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And what is the value of prayer? I mean, what is the power? You see, we gain victory through prayer. We see in James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. I like it in the Amplified Version. He says, thank you, Lord. Confess to one another, therefore, your slips, your false steps, your offenses. your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt prayer must be from the heart. Continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. There is no, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Power is made available for us when we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 11, verse 2, number one, there is power to contact heaven and God's throne. When you pray, say, "Our Father who is in heaven." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he talks about the fact that come boldly to the throne room of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Don't come crawling. Come boldly. That is the highest seat of power in the universe. Power to partner with God in what he's trying to do in the earth. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 38, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And earlier in the prayer verse, he said, the harvest is already out there. If the harvest is ripe, how come he doesn't just send laborers into the harvest? John Wesley said, it seems God can do nothing for humanity unless somebody prays. The harvest is there. Why doesn't he just send them? Because he has given and released the authority into the earth. Someone has to pray for the laborers to be released. Thank you, Lord. Power to resist and defeat the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We get that in prayer. Power to transcend the laws of nature, number 4. John chapter 9, we see where Jesus mixed his spittle with clay, put it on the eyes of a blind man, and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and you come back seeing. The man went and did that. In the natural, clay being mixed with someone's spit will not do anything for anyone. But when God says so, it will. It will change something. Power to transcend natural law. One time, I was doing some work in Alaska, and it was way out there, and I had a driver with me, and he was driving, and it started snowing. It was like September, October in Alaska, and it was just going to the north path a little bit, and then it started snowing. And then this person was from California. He didn't know how to drive in snow. So he kept going. At some point, there was a river which was icy on the left side. The car started swerving into the river. And I said, Jesus, I was ready. You have to be ready. And I don't know how it happened. The car moved from the direction that it was going, came back on the right road to the glory of God. And then I said, Philip, get down, I'll drive this car. I'm from Colorado. I know how to drive. I'm not going to end up in this no man's land in Alaska in a river somewhere. I'm going to take over this car and drive. I did. But you see, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says, if your strength if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you've not built, you see, you need enough for where you are today and for the day of adversity. If you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You cannot fail when we cannot fail when it comes to this issue of prayer. Notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. He says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? If in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the flood plain of the Jordan? The idea there is, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember one time the hand of God came on Elijah and he outran the chariots of Ahab. He's saying that if you run with the footmen, people that are just on the ground and they worry you, what will happen when you have to contend with horses? Or what will happen when you have to contend with difficult circumstances? If in the land of peace in which you trusted they worried you, then how would you do in the flood plain of the Jordan? The Jordan was believed at a certain season, it is very level. At a certain point in time, it floods and overflows. If you are not able in the day of peace, in the land of peace, in which you trust that they rode you, then how would you do when the floods of and the tides of life come? You must be ready. You must be ready from that standpoint. You must be ready. In Genesis 41, 29 to 31, Joseph prepared for a famine. He knew that there was famine coming up. In the time of plenty, he stored up for the day of famine. We must be ready. Sometimes, so many times when things are going well, life is good, we neglect our prayer life. And then when crisis come up, we get caught. I pray that will not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that no matter what comes up, you will be ready. You will be ready and you will prevail. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Prayer also causes us to know and for God to reveal what he has for our lives. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Notice what he says. Call to me and I will answer you. Or maybe I will answer. That's what the Bible says. And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There is a certain king in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1. His name was Cyrus. He says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am God of Israel. He's called an anointed king. You see, Babylon, at that time, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. Babylon was walled around. It was very great. It had 10 gates around it. And these Babylonians would take their treasures and go and hide it in the sea. And by he's saying to Cyrus, I will show you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I have anointed you to subdue nations before you. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. In this season, as you engage, as you pray, as you seek the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that God will reveal to you things that you do not know. I pray that the wisdom that you need, the direction that you need, the way that you need to go, God will reveal it to you. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Glory be to the name of the Lord. In the same Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Verse 11, prior to that, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call to me, call upon me, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. The good plans, the good thoughts is tied to us praying and seeking the Lord. You will call on me and I will listen to you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, as you set yourself to seek the Lord, may he reveal himself to you in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice again, the same Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, there's an interesting story in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 18 to 23. Jeremiah, I don't know if you've seen this story before, but it will bless us this morning. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 18. You see, they wanted to do away with Jeremiah, to do away with him, because he was speaking the word of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. And I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruits, and let us cut him off the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. Oh, what did he do? But, oh, Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by your hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. This is a life and death situation. What do you do when you are faced with life and death? What do you do when you get a report from the doctor that says you have a certain disease? What do you do when everything seems against you? What do you do? Jeremiah is in a situation here where the enemy says they are going to do away with him. If he sits down, his life will have ended here, right, in chapter 11. We won't see the rest of the story of what he wrote. Think about how serious it is. What do you do when you are faced with a situation? What did Jeremiah do? Notice what the Bible says. He says, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Poor devil. When he wants to destroy you, he wants to start with the fruit. God starts with the seed. The enemy works the other way around and starts with the fruit and cuts off the whole tree. That's his plan. To destroy your life. Sometimes you wonder, why all these battles that I have to fight? Whether you realize it or not, you are already in a wrestling match. There is a battle over your life. He wants to destroy your fruit. Your fruit may be your children. Your fruit may be your career. Your fruit may be something in your life that you have worked for. Or something in your life that he wants to do away with. In Jude 1:9, the Bible says that even after Moses died, the devil was contending for his body. Even the dead body of the man, he's contending for it. There is a battle over your life. Oh, but Jeremiah, thank God, he knew what to do. He didn't go around crying and having a pity party. See what these people are purpose and planned against me. Telling everybody in town what the issue is. They want to do away with my life for prophesying, for speaking the word of the Lord. What did he do? He took his case to the Supreme Court of the universe. But, oh Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed my cause. I like this prayer. It's so good. Lord, you are the one that I have revealed my cause. Lord, you are the one that I have taken my case to. Lord, you are the one that can turn this situation around. Oh, vain is the help and the comfort and the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh may fail me, but I know that you, oh God, you can deliver me. Oh Lord, you can turn this circumstance around. In a way, he was crying out to God. He took his case to God. And my life cannot end right now. I have a destiny to fulfill. The plan of God for my life, I must accomplish it. I refuse to die. I refuse to give in to these enemies. I am taking my place in prayer for something to turn around. I am taking my place in prayer for God to change my story. You see, we have to get to that point all of us get to that point where we refuse to let the enemy cut us off, to steal our fruit, to do away with our very lives. One person also got to that point. Thank you, Lord. His name was Jabez. Thank you, Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And what did he do? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me and you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. He got to the point in his life where he said, enough is enough. My mother called me sorrow. My mother called me pain. Oh, no matter what name you may have been associated with, no matter what your past is, prayer and faith in God can turn that around. Your identity can begin to change right from this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we call on the Lord God, your identity in life, oh, may be one of defeat, may be one of failure. There is nothing colorful about your life. Jabez said, this must change. I cannot go keep going down this path and causing pain. But just because my mother named me that way doesn't mean that I have to continue down this path. I am going to start something new in my line of generation. Something is going to turn around. From today, I am going to call on the God of Israel. I am going to call on God who can turn my life around. God, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me. No matter what your identity is today, as you begin to call on God, the Bible says that God granted him what he requested. In this season, in the name of Jesus, no matter where you are in life, as you call on the Lord God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may he turn your story around, may he turn your destiny around, and have you headed in the right direction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see you walking in the fullness of all that God has for your life. Jeremiah, they were going to cut him off. He says, let's do away with the tree. We are called trees of righteousness, that we may bear fruit for our God, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. God has destined that our lives will be fruitful. Our prayer lives will be fruitful. He says, Isaiah 61, 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus repeating is saying that when you bear prayer fruit, my Father is glorified and you will be my disciples. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will take your prayer life. God will take your prayer life to another level. He will take you to where you are supposed to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's make this declaration. You see, you must be ready. One time, our son Joshua, he was in school, and they had a lockdown. There was a truth. It had a lockdown. And this says the Psalm 91 every day before they go to school, as much as possible, as often as possible. He said, I realized that it was past our closing time, and something was going on. So he said, I recited the 91st Psalm, and after a while, I felt peace in my heart, and then I just went about my activities. But that's so important. Bearing fruit, being ready, and fellowshipping with God and praying his will for our lives. It's so important. When stuff comes up, we are ready to pray. Who is ready to pray this morning? I'm ready to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know all of us have things in our life that must turn around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all say this together. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I declare and pray and enforce God's original plan and purpose for my life. I decree and declare that in this battle, I am a winner. I declare that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I shall pull every stronghold of the enemy. I cast down every vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I establish divine parameters and boundaries and borders by the laws of God around my life. I decree that every oppression in my life, every injunction, every directive, every mandate of the enemy against my life, I take him down. I resist him in Jesus' mighty name. I decree and declare that the plan of God concerning my life will come to pass. Now lift up your voice and call on the name of the Lord. Any situation in your life that you desire a turnaround, lift up your voice in the mighty name of Jesus. Any area of your life where you desire God to intervene, lift up your voice and call on the name of the Lord. Pray in the spirit and with your understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, your Goliath, your enemy may be different from another person, but all of us have a God. Call on the name of the Lord. Jabez called on the name of the Lord. Jeremiah called on God, and his life was turned around. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, pray even ahead into things that are coming up that you know you have to deal with. Jesus prayed before he chose his disciples. Maybe some decisions are coming up. In the mighty name of Jesus, committed to God, committed to God, committed to God, and he will guide your way. He will direct your path. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice to the Lord this morning. Call on God that answers prayer. Call on God that answers prayer. Call on the name of the Lord. Everyone was being baptized. The difference with Jesus was he was praying. In the mighty name of Jesus, call on God. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have some family business to take care of this morning. Ricky, come up, please. He's leaving for, he's been deployed this week for security reasons. I won't mention where he's going. But let's pray for him that as he goes, God's protection will be with him. God will be with him. Let's use him as a point of contact to pray for all our military folks that are out there. God's protection will be with him. Let's stretch our hands and pray over him this morning. Pray, lift up your voice, that God will protect him. That God will protect him. God will protect him and bring him back safely. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the men and women that serve. We pray for this one, Lord. We decree and declare this morning, Lord, like God said, when the children of Israel went from nation to nation, he decreed and said, touch not my prophets and do my people no harm. We decree that no harm of the enemy will befall him. 1,000 will fall on his side and 10,000 on the other side, but no evil will befall him in the mighty name of Jesus. No harm will befall him. Instead, he is protected. And you bring him back to us safely, as well as all the others that are faithfully serving this country. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And let's pray for Levon. He graduated recently. And all for others that graduated recently as well. Let's stretch our hands up over him. Come forward as well. Let's pray over him. as he enters the next chapter of his life. God, take him to the next level that you have for him. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this man's life, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you for bringing him this far in his education career. We pray, oh God, over him this morning, that which you have for his life. We pray that your plan for him, for his life will be fulfilled. The next chapter of his life will be fulfilled. He will go from glory to glory. He will go from strength to strength. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And all for others that graduated recently as well. Lord, reveal what you will have them to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory be to the name of thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's raise up our hands to you this morning. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, this week is declared a blessed week. This month is declared a blessed month. May goodness may God's goodness and mercy follow you all the days of this week. May you go from strength to strength. May you go from glory to glory. As you go forth and take your prayer life and pray, may God show you the way to go. May no plan of the enemy against you succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are blessed and you cannot be cursed. You are blessed and you cannot be cursed. You are blessed and you are a blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus, every desire, God's desire on your heart, as you see God, may he grant you the desires of your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Father. May God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace, his shalom. May you return with your testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say aloud amen this morning. Say aloud amen. Say aloud amen. Say aloud amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for coming out. Prayer is so important. Keep praying. Never give up. Never faint. Jesus fulfilled his ministry about 3.5 years, but he ever lives to make intercession for us. That's how much important prayer is.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.